Philippians chapter 3. We're going to kind of pick up on the sermon we left off with last week. So if you weren't here last week, you have to go to the church website. You can listen to it there. The reason I say that is when I started writing the sermon, this was all supposed to be just one sermon, and then it just kept getting more and more and bigger, and there was no way to preach all of this in one setting and do it justice. So last week, the title and idea of the sermon was, I've entitled the entire sermon, The Invitation. I believe God gives us an invitation. And as I told you last week, I'm not big on New Year's resolutions. I don't make them for myself. I just don't. But at points in time, I do think, I fully believe with all my heart that as Christians, we need to stop once in a while and slow down and take a spiritual inventory and figure out where we are on this journey in life. And what is God asking us to do? And there were three things that going into this sermon. Last week we talked about what it means to dig deeper, digging deeper into the Word. We talked about Hebrews from the book of Hebrews, moving on beyond the elementary teachings of our faith and digging deeper in that relationship and what that looks like. And today I want to continue that with this idea of the second thing I think God is inviting us to do and encouraging us to do is to reach higher. To reach higher. And we find the scripture for this that Paul tells us a lot about this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16. And I want to read that for us as we get started this morning. Beginning of verse 7, Paul writes this: whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect or mature, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Lord, I recognize the fact that I need your help with this. This is your word, not mine. This is your message. I just pray that you would use it in a way that benefits your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about digging deeper. Today, reaching higher. Next week we're going to talk about what it means and what it looks like to live closer to Christ. So all these things are kind of interrelated. But today, I want to look at three things about Paul's life. Three things that Paul writes in this passage of Scripture that kind of demonstrate for us what it means to reach higher and how we do that. First of all is this: reaching higher for Paul meant that he had to have a new perspective. reaching higher for Paul meant that he needed a new perspective. Look what he says in verses 7 and 8. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. What's he saying? What he's saying is everything that used to be important to me is no longer important. Everything that used to define my life, every place and everything that used to form my identity doesn't matter anymore. How do I know that? We're going to read some more. Back up a little bit. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with the end of verse 4. Let's take a closer look at all these things that Paul now considers loss for the sake of knowing Christ. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless, he says. What's he doing? He's outlining his religious pedigree. He came from the right kind of family. He came from the right side of the tracks, so to speak, when it comes to the Jewish society and the religious elite. He had a zeal and a drive to be the very best. He had the best education. He kept all the rules to the letter. He was well on his way to being inducted into what I call the Pharisaical Hall of Fame. But now something's different. Something's changed. What happened? I can tell you what happened. Acts chapter 9 happened. It's called Paul's Damascus. Saul at the time, his Damascus Road experience. He had an encounter with God. It was an encounter with God that changed him completely. His life is now the perfect example of what he writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You see, in order to gain Christ, something else has to go. In order to be in the right relationship with Christ and to experience all that that means, there are other things that we have to leave behind. Paul outlines just everything that he had going for him. If he had kept on the pace that he was going, who knows, he would have been at the very, very top of the religious and Pharisaical leadership in his day. Acts chapter 9 opens with something like this. Paul continued expressing murderous threats and hatred towards all those people who were followers of Christ. And he was on a mission to persecute the church. He was on a mission to do everything he could to destroy this new way, as it was called then, these people who followed Jesus. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. It didn't matter who he was. His family history didn't matter anymore. His religious pedigree didn't matter anymore. His education didn't matter anymore. Because he had a new perspective, a new priority. I want to gain Christ. second thing Paul's life now demonstrates for us in this idea of reaching higher is the fact that he had a new passion. A new passion. Look at verses 9 through 11. I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ. What a statement. I want to know Christ. And not only do I want to know Christ, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to experience the fellowship and sharing of his sufferings and become like him in his death. So somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Notice the subtle change in words. In verses 7 through 8, he said, I consider everything rubbish, meaningless in order to gain Christ. Now he says, I want to know Christ. I want to be intimate with Christ. I want my life to be intertwined and interconnected with the life of Jesus. I want my identity now to be found in Jesus, not my family background, not my history, not my heritage, not all those things that I've accomplished and all the achievements that I've reached in my past life. I want to know Christ. And I want to be found in him. I'm not interested in self-righteousness that comes as a result of keeping all the rules anymore. I want a true righteousness, a true relationship that is found and experienced only through faith in Christ. Now we have to understand what Paul means when he uses the word righteousness. What Paul means when he writes this word in the form that you find it in the original language means simply this: I want to be in a right relationship with God. That's what he's talking about. I want to be in the right relationship with God. And that's why the change is so important for us to notice. You see, all of Paul's life up until that day on the Damascus Road when he was going to persecute more Christians, every day of his life up until then, the righteousness that he experienced was self-righteousness. It was the righteousness he gained by keeping all the rules and the regulations and observing all the Sabbaths and the feasts and doing everything that was recorded in the law of Moses. He held it all. He did everything to the letter. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. You can't lay a finger on me. We can keep all the rules and still be lost. We can be as legalistic as we want to be and still not be in relationship with Christ. Because that's not where our righteousness comes from. That's not where a right relationship with God comes from. A right relationship comes by knowing Jesus and making it our passion to know him. He says, I want to know Christ to the point of experiencing the very power of his resurrection within me. And look, if you look back in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, you'll find him saying just that. I pray that you would be able to experience and know the unsurpassing power, the greatness of the power of God that is at work within you. It is the same power at work within you that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, is what the Apostle Paul tells the church in Ephesus. Can we comprehend that? Can we stop just for a moment? And I want you to tell yourself this. As a born-again, spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ, I have the same power at work in my heart and life, the very same power that raised Jesus from the grave. Do we live that way? Do our lives reflect that reality and that belief? Do I cower in the corner and run away every time Satan comes at me with some temptation that might seem big at the time? But if I stop and think about just for a moment the fact that the Spirit power working in me is the same type of power that raised Jesus from the dead, can I not stand up to Satan in the name of Christ and in the power of the Spirit and say, get behind me? But so many times Christians and the church live in weakness and we live in defeat and we live in surrendered but not surrender to God. We surrender to the other things because we just don't think we can stand up under the pressure. Let the power of God that is present within you do the work that it's designed to do. I'm talking to myself just as much or more as I'm talking to you. Paul wanted to know Christ, even if it meant experiencing the same type of suffering Jesus did, even if it meant to the point of death, so that he could also experience the new and everlasting life with Christ for all eternity. Listen to how Paul describes the life that this passion for knowing Christ produces. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we find these words. This is Paul describing himself. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do we know Christ? Have we become so intimate with Christ? Do we have a passion to become so close to Jesus? Do we have a passion to know him to such a degree that I can say, I have been crucified with him and Francis Warren no longer lives, but Jesus lives in me. It's not, I don't live anymore, but Christ living in this body and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave him, who loved me and gave himself for me. If we're going to reach higher spiritual ground, we are going to have a passion and a desire to know Jesus that is second to nothing else. Look around at our society. Look around at the world in which we live. If there was ever a time in the history of the world that we need to make sure we have a passion for knowing Christ in order to remain faithful to him, it's now. I was sharing in Sunday school class this morning. I didn't take time to read the whole article, but there was an article shared on Facebook by a acquaintance, friend of mine on Facebook who's a district superintendent in Kentucky for the Church of the Nazarene. He shared an article about a 10-year-old boy who dresses up as a drag queen and is a part of the whole child sex trafficking situation. 10 years old. 10 years old. And the mother's comment was, well, what am I supposed to do about it? I can't stop him. You're the mother of a 10-year-old. You can stop them if you choose to. But you see, the more and more our culture slips and slides in that direction, and the more we allow that to become the normal, the church has to have a passion that's strong enough to stand up for what is right and stand against what is wrong and let our voice be heard. We have to have a passion to know Christ that comes second to nothing else. A new purpose. The third thing that Paul demonstrates here in this idea of reaching higher is a new purpose. Look at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I've read this passage of Scripture time and time again. I've preached from it different times in different ways. And I'm almost embarrassed to say that I've never quite made the connection in the past that I did when studying for this message. What was the purpose? Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What was that? What does that mean? Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16 describe Paul, or Saul at the time, as a chosen instrument to carry Jesus' name to the Gentiles, their kings, and the people of Israel. If you read, go back and read Acts chapter 9 some point today or sometime this week and remind yourself and refresh your memory of what exactly was happening there. Paul is on his way. He's on that road to Damascus. He's on his way to deliver letters to the leadership and the authorities there and the governor so that he can arrest Christians and believers, and he has that experience with Christ. The bright light that blinds him, the voice that he hears, he has to be led into the city, and in his blindness he's shown a vision about a man named Ananias who would come and lay hands on him and show him what his new purpose is. Ananias is scared to death. Ananias says, Lord, maybe you don't remember this, but this is the same guy who's killing people and putting them in jail and all kinds of stuff because we believe in you. And the Lord says, yeah, I know that. But he will be my chosen instrument to carry the name of Jesus to the Gentiles, to their kings, and to the people of Israel. Later, in Acts chapter 26, and I want to read some of this to you, so if you want to join me there, Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 12. This is Paul now, later in life, having been arrested, having been being persecuted for preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ. He's now on trial, defending his faith before King Agrippa. And what's Paul do? Paul does what Paul always does. He takes this as an opportunity just to give his testimony. And starting in verse 12, here's what he says. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At about noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. You think God has a sense of humor? Let's break this down and look at God's sense of humor. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Why did Christ Jesus take hold of Saul at the time, the Apostle Paul now? Here's why. I'm going to make him a servant and a witness of Jesus. The one who once persecuted believers for their faith in Christ is now preaching that same faith in Christ. I'm sending you to open their eyes. Adam Clark's commentary says this, to open our eyes means to be an instrument of informing their understanding in the things of God. So So Paul is told, I'm sending you to open their eyes. I'm sending you to enlighten the people who don't know anything about me, the people who are ignorant, uneducated about me. I'm sending you to open their eyes to the truth. Paul was struck blind physically in order to receive an understanding, this kind of spiritual insight, and now he was instructing others to do the same. Sense of humor? I'm sending you to turn them from darkness to light. Darkness represents the ignorance of salvation. Darkness represents sin. Darkness represents everything that is impure, everything that's unholy. That's the metaphor used for darkness in Scripture when it talks about those who are lost and wandering with no direction. Paul, I'm sending you to turn them from darkness to light, because light represents all that is good and righteous and pure. I'm sending you to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. The one who put people in prison for their faith in Christ is now offering them freedom through faith in Christ. Can't get much more ironic than that. I'm sending you that they may receive forgiveness of sins through repentance. They are forgiven from their acts of sin. I'm sending you to them so that they may receive not only forgiveness of sins, but a place among those who are sanctified. Forgiveness comes through repentance. Sanctification comes through surrender to the power of God. Our hearts are made pure and made holy. So when Paul says, I'm pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, he's talking about all these things. All those things that used to be the complete opposite of who he was and what his desires in life were. All of these things outline the purpose that God had for Paul. So I ask you again, do you think God had a sense of humor? How do we reach higher? I press on. He says, brothers, I did not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. How do I reach higher? Forget what's behind us. How do I keep moving forward? Forget what I left behind. The failures, the successes, the accomplishments, the achievements, the entitlements, the trials, the temptations. I put it all behind in order to move forward and reach higher. When I was a freshman in high school, I was sitting in the band room with my band director. I pretty much lived there during high school. I went to other classes during the day, and I had a locker, but most of my stuff was kept in the band room. During study hall, my best friend Chris and I went to our study hall teacher and we went to the band director and we got a signed permission slip for us to, instead of going to study hall class, we would do study hall in the band room. Sometimes we were practicing, sometimes we were just goofing off. But we pretty much lived there. Concert band, jazz band, marching band. If they had a band, I was in it, plus all the different small groups and brass quartets and solos and all kinds of different things. That music was pretty much it for me in high school. Time came around to start preparing for all conference and all district band tryouts. Tried out for all conference and made all conference band. tried out for all district. My band director kept telling me, Mr. Bennett kept telling me, he said, oh, he said, Francis, it's not going to be a problem. He said, just do your best. He said, you're going to make it. He said, you're good enough. You're good enough to do this. I had a horrible tryout. I had a terrible audition. I didn't make the band. Well, I got back. We kind of talked about it. He said, well, you'll do better next time. It's a learning experience. He moved on. I didn't. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm better than that. I should have made it. About a week and a half later, we're sitting in a private lesson, and he looked at me, and he just told me this. He says, time to stop feeling sorry for yourself and move on. I thought, well, okay. I did. But had I continued to dwell on that failure, had I continued to let that define me trying to move forward, then I wouldn't have reached the level of all conference and all district band. And by my senior year, I was one of the 5 trumpet players in the entire state of Missouri that made the all state jazz band. It wouldn't have happened. I would have been too busy thinking about what was behind the failure. And I never would have been able to move forward. So we have to forget some of those things that are behind us and make sure they stay behind us. But then we have to press on. He says, I'm pressing on. What does that mean? I'm straining. I'm stretching. I'm reaching for what lies ahead. And when I see Paul stating this, here's what I think. I think of those times at the house where I'm trying to reach something that's like up on the very top shelf, and I'm standing on my tippy toes. Because believe it or not, I'm the tallest person in my family. Well, maybe Jordan. Jordan might be a little bit taller than me, but he's not home. So believe it or not, I'm the tallest person in my family. If I can't reach it, nobody's going to reach it. I don't have a Charlie Yoder. Hey, Charlie, you want to grab that for me? And it's really funny watching Emily, but we won't even go there. But that's what I envision when I read this scripture is a person who is just, there's something up on that very top, and I'm trying to reach as high as I can, and I just can't quite reach it, and I'm stretch, and I stretch, and I stretch. Trying to reach for what is there. We press on by not giving up and not giving in. He said, I press on toward the goal to win that prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Have you ever had something, you ever wanted something so badly that you were willing, you just kept reaching and kept reaching and kept reaching until you achieved what it was, or until you reached it, until you found some way to get to the level where that object was, step ladder, step stool, whatever it is, to make yourself taller, to reach something you can't otherwise reach. Press on. Don't give up. Don't give in. See, this is the life spiritually that God is inviting us to dig deeper. Go beyond the basics, go beyond the elementary truth of our faith and move in to something more mature and deeper, and then to reach higher, keep reaching for that ultimate goal. What is it? Eternal life. The prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The prize is knowing Christ and being found in Him. Not having a righteousness of our own, but a righteousness that comes from God by faith in Jesus Christ. A living, breathing, intimate relationship is what He's drawing us to. God invites us to reach higher. The only question is, will we accept that invitation and take that next step on this journey? I want us to close with a song this morning. I'm gonna say a prayer. If there's anything you'd like to come pray about, we invite you to do that. But I want us to close by singing this song. If you want to turn in your hymnal, it's number 467. We'll just sing the first verse of it as we close, but I want to pray for us this morning. And if you're here and feel God is speaking to you about something, you want to come pray, invite you to do that. If you want to pray right where you are, I invite you to do that. Just listen to the voice of God this morning. And let's accept God's invitation to reach higher along this spiritual walk. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you for the invitation you give us to walk life with you. And I pray that you would give us a desire, a passion to know you more, a passion to find out what our purpose in life is according to your calling and follow that with all of our heart until we're able to take hold of that for which you've taken hold of us. God, just help us most of all to be obedient to you and continue reaching for higher ground on our walk with you. We love you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing the first verse of hymn number 467. Dismiss us in prayer this morning.